Individuals that have assembled here together today as a body of believers. Touch us, we pray, around the table of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Praise God. Praise God. This week I read or heard about a young man with identity problems. And one cold winter's evening, he walked into a dentist's office. And he said, can you help me? He said, I think I'm a moth. Talking about thoughts. He said, I think I'm a moth. The dentist said, you don't need a dentist. You need a psychiatrist. He said, yes, I know. Well, the dentist said, well, why did you come here? He said, your light was on. Sorry, if that was too cheesy, blame my wife. She shared it with me off of Facebook, I guess. Church, our thoughts, and in a sense, our ideas, create our world. I am truly fascinated by an amazing, it's called emotive, EEG technology that uses a person's thoughts and brain waves to do incredible things. And Tan Lee, who is the CEO of the company that has developed this amazing technology, explains a few of its developments. And I was listening. You can just go on YouTube and see it, how a handicapped person can, just with thoughts, type. They can operate a motorized wheelchair. They can, you know, perform numerous unbelievable actions just with this thing they wear that reads their thoughts. It's exciting. It's a highly publicized project that the University of Minnesota has successfully developed. For example, a toy quadcopter. It's a helicopter with four blades that can be flown and controlled by a person's thoughts using this new emotive EEG technology. It can be, this guy straps it on and it reads his thoughts. That this quadcopter can be flown through a balloon obstacle course and successfully maneuver around each one just by a headpiece being worn with various electrodes that have tapped into the thoughts of a person. It's also being used to direct robots. The potential is unlimited, they said. Imagine walking in your home and just thinking the thought and the lights will come on. It's actually happening right now. Scary in a sense. This thought power has already been weaponized. A spy drone has been developed that can be directed by thought. Computers can be operated by a thought. I suppose someday they'll be able to spy on our thoughts. You see, my reason for mentioning all this is to just kind of remind us and expose the enormous power of the mind. And I'm not going to be talking about the power of positive thinking. I'm going to talk about the power of right thinking. Biblical thinking. Can I get a witness in here? Somebody said amen. If science can harness a thought and move a wheelchair or fly a helicopter? Could thoughts have already been created? Thoughts are already creating the world in which you live every day. In a sense, thoughts are many times more impacting than I think we imagine or believe. Thoughts that are detrimental, church, they're detrimental to long-term spiritual health. If you accept and you feed on wrong thoughts, if you don't correct it and you accept it, it could destroy you. If there is anything that can hurt and harm us spiritually, it's the toxins, okay, inside of our minds.
Amen.
It can destroy us spiritually, ultimately sending our spiritual lives in a downward spiral. You know, I was reminded this week, it was back in 1971 when my parents felt the call to go to an old mining town of Pitcher, Oklahoma, P-I-C-H-E-R, Pitcher, Oklahoma, to plant a church there. I mean, Pitcher, Oklahoma was an old town of winos and homeless alcoholics. Upon arrival, my parents rented an old vacant funeral home that had a chapel. They lived there. Not my decision. For the next 9 months, they had service every night at that funeral chapel turned revival center. My oldest sister's bedroom was the room where the mortician stored the dead bodies. My sister will testify the creep factor in that place was high. I wish I could stand here and say that that church grew and thrived, but the truth be told, that whole town, the whole town of Pitcher, Oklahoma, is a ghost town now. Before my parents left, the Lord impressed upon my mother to prophesy, and I don't want you to label us as charismatics or anything but that, but she really felt the Lord laid a prophecy on her hearts that if the residents of Pitcher, Oklahoma did not turn to the Lord, He would send a storm that would judge the entire town. Mom and Dad printed that impression on a flyer, and I was talking to my brother last night, and he said he remembers passing it out to every resident that would possibly take it of Pitcher, Oklahoma. In mid-2009, that once booming little town of 20,000 officially went out of business. See, in the early 1900s, Pitcher, Oklahoma had been a boom town because of its abundant zinc and lead. Workers extracted the ore, which was used to help arm the U.S. during both world wars. But now what mostly remains is, and I've been there, it's just gigantic chat piles of toxic material throughout that entire area. Over the last few years, they discovered cave-in risks and groundwater contamination and health effects associated with those toxic chat piles. And in 1996, an alarming study showed lead poisoning in 34% of all the children that lived in Pitcher, Oklahoma. That study is what prompted the mandatory evacuation and the buyout via eminent domain of the entire town of Pitcher by the EPA. Then in May of 2008, an F4 tornado destroyed or damaged 150 homes and accelerated the exodus and fulfilled, I think, the prophecy that Mom predicted 36 years earlier. The town ceased official operations on September the 1st, 2009, and the population plummeted to what at first had been thousands to just 20 people in the last census that was taken in 2010. And so as of January 2011, only six homes was all that was left. And one business remained because the owners refused to leave at any price. The rest of the town's buildings, except a couple designated historical structures, had been set to be demolished by the end of 2011. See, the biggest problem was that while the lead and the zinc brought wealth, it brought toxic pollution. And since nothing was done to deal with the toxic pollution, Pitcher, Oklahoma became toxic wasteland. And I say all that to say this, what happened to Pitcher can happen to people. Our actions and emotions are actually determined, first of all, in our thoughts. And it is easy for our thoughts to become poison. Proverbs 23:7. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I've read that 75 to 85% of the illnesses that plague us today are direct results of our thought lives. Isn't that amazing? What we think about affects us physically and emotionally and spiritually. They tell us, you know, the average person has over 30,000 thoughts a day. Through an uncontrolled thought life, listen, church, we can create conditions, they say, for illness where we can actually make ourselves sick. Research shows, for example, the thought of fear, the feeling of fear when it's entertained on its own triggers more than 1,400 known physical and chemical responses in the man's brain. Toxic waste generated by toxic thoughts causes illnesses. They said they can trace it to diabetes, to cancer, to asthma, to skin problems, to allergies, just to name a few. And medical research increasingly points to the fact that controlling our thought life is one of the best ways. This is medical research has said this. Controlling our thought life is one of the best ways that we can detox our brain. That's not Bible. That's medical research. But I think the Bible already proclaimed that. It allows us, they said, to get rid of toxic thoughts and emotions that can consume and control our mind. Listen, change our thinking is essential here as a believer. Controlling our thought life means not letting our thoughts run amok through our minds. And it means learning to engage interactively with every single thought that we have and analyze it. And before we decide either to accept it or reject it. And you say, well, how do you do that? Well, take, for example, your mental processes here. For example, how many could haves and would haves and should haves statements like that? How many of them have you made lately in your mind? You see, how many of the if-onlys have been a part of your inner vocabulary lately? And how many times have we replayed in our mind a conversation or a situation that hurt us? How many scenarios have we created of the unpredictable future? How honest are we with ourselves? Are we going through the motions but not really surrendered to Christ? And we say one thing but do another. How distorted is our thinking. See, do we ever make comments like, nothing ever goes right for me. Everything I touch fails. Hello. I always mess things up. If you answered yes to these questions, that means your mind needs detoxing right now. Hello. See, who we are is determined by not our wealth, not by our titles or degrees. Who we are, in it's not our status in society. It's determined by the thoughts that we choose to entertain and embrace. Generally speaking, we must change the way we think before we can experience a victory in our lives spiritually. Church, our enemies are not all external in this culture. There's a lot of enemies that are internal. And there is a constant battling, raging, going on beside or inside of us. Paul says there's a carnal mind and then there's a spiritual mind. Help me preach. I'm staying in the Bible this morning, not preaching from Sears and Roebuck. Hello. How true that old saying is that goes, it's the thought that our thoughts do count. Huh? How do you detox your mind spiritually? How do you get rid of that junk for good? First of all, I want you to notice, first of all, we start by guarding our thoughts. Proverbs 4:23, we got to guard our heart. We got to guard the seat of our emotions and our thoughts, because out from it flow the issues of life. And you know, there really, I want you to get this down. If you don't leave with anything else, leave with this. There are five possible birthplaces for every thought that comes into your head. Every thought has a birthplace that has five gates, which are our five what? Senses. When it comes to our thoughts, though, it's the eye gate and the ear gate that we are especially having to guard. And those two gates are powerful in the battle of the mind. We must guard those gates 24/7. Amen, Pastor. Dr. Caroline Leaf, I was in Cornerstone Thrift Store a while back, picked up this CD album. I never heard of this lady before, but Dr. Caroline Leaf, a communication pathologist from South Africa, has researched the human brain since 1981. And she said that there is a point in our brain called the free will. And it is a genetic structure. They have been able to see it. It's a genetic structure they have called the free will. It has its own genetic code. It can use that free will to accept or to reject an incoming thought's information. So if we are controlling our thought life, we don't have to just receive all the input that's coming to us from the outside world, from the media, from external. She said some folks have got a lot of existing toxic memories in their heads because everything from birth to death is stored in your brain. She writes that we have information coming from the outside, information from the inside, and she said it all meets at the point of this area in the brain called the free will. And we can make a decision at that point to accept or reject that information. Isn't that awesome? If we decide that the thought is not good and we actually analyze it and say, oh, wait a minute, this one's not healthy spiritually, then she says we can reject that thought. But if we choose to think about it, meditate on it, ask, answer, discuss, analyze, give it meaning, then she said what we do, they've watched it in the brain. It pushes into what she has called, and scientists, neuroscientists have actually called, memory trees in the mind, in the brain. And that thought pushes into a memory tree and is attached to the memory tree. And she said it's there for good. Once these thoughts have moved into what the neuroscientists call the trees of the mind, she said they're in there for good. You cannot get rid of them. But here she noticed this, you can rebuild over them. This rebuilding, I think, is what Paul calls the renewing of the mind. We're going to get to that in a moment. It's much more difficult to rebuild than it is to reject. If we would have rejected that thought at the beginning, we wouldn't have to go to the trouble to rebuild around it. Next, I want you to notice this. We've got to take our thoughts captive. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds, and the bringing into captivity every thought. Everybody say thought. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Paul says our spiritual weapons have the power to unlock the prisoner who is believing the lies that Satan is putting into his mind. Paul says we can stop being a prisoner of our own toxic thoughts. The weapons of prayer, the weapon of the blood of Jesus that I introduced to you last Sunday. Listen, would cause us to fight the enemy and bring down and demolish
demolish a mental stronghold. Listen, Paul says, any thought that is not of God, take it, grab it, and make it a prisoner. Then we shape it by the Word of God and we make it obedient to Christ. Oh, that's good preaching. Listen, he said, if there's any thoughts, I want you to see the next thing you got to do is test the thought. See, I didn't notice this. Here, check this out. I didn't really notice this scripture until just this week. So this is fresh bread. Turn to Jeremiah 12:3. He says, but thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried or tested my heart. In the Hebrew means the seat of my mind and thoughts and emotions. So we can read it like this. You've seen me. You've tested my mind. You've noticed every thought. Notice what he goes on to say. He said, pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. He said, if there's any thoughts inconsistent with Scripture, God, I'm giving you the power, I'm giving you the okay to drag it out of my mind. Drag that unbiblical thought out and take it to the slaughterhouse. Woo! Hallelujah! He said, I've decided not to live with toxic thoughts anymore. Somebody's going to get detoxed this morning. Somebody's going to get the power of the cleansing blood of Jesus to take care of your thoughts. Finally, we must replace toxic thoughts with God's transformative truth. We must direct, we must redirect our thoughts. And that's what Paul told the church at Philippi, Philippians chapter 4. He said, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We must renew our thoughts. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing in the Greek is ekenosis, which means a renovation to make better than new. Oh, praise God. I said not to just make as new, but to make better than new. Praise God. All of us have thoughts and all of us have tendencies that are not holy and godly ones. The fact is, bad thought patterns are reversible, Paul says, and good thought patterns are possible once you realize I'm going to take the initiative, I'm going to apply the principles given to us in God's Word to achieve a renewed mind. Woo, I'm feeling like preaching. You see, with all certainty, renewing the mind is essential if the believer is going to live free from the influences and the hindrances of what the Bible calls the carnal mind. Is this okay? It's also essential for believers to renew their mind in order for both them to discern the will of God more clearly and develop spiritual strength when resisting temptation. Do you know your mind is where you fight the battle for temptation? So I'm convinced, listen church, I'm convinced that if every one of us in the church invested time and effort into renewing our minds, we could move forward this new year with the most awesome testimonies of answered prayers, miracles from God, spiritual breakthroughs. Listen, we would be able to stand up in 2015 and look back at 2014 and say, listen, I had a year of jubilee. Woo! I'm about ready to preach. You better shape up and buckle your seatbelts. I said, I'm about ready to preach. Why? Because I'm tired of the devil hijacking the minds of believers. Of God's people, we're called unto Bible holiness and purity. And he said, you can live a transformed life. Woo! Glory to God. We need to let the blood of Jesus, that blood will do a spiritual surgery on an unhealthy, unholy, undesirable thought. and the carnal mind will have to be history. Huh? Well, listen, I believe it is not only the right time. We are here this morning at a divinely appointed time for a detox of our thought life. Listen, little newsflash here. If you can think, you can change. I said, if you can think, you can change. Oh, renewing our mind is the single most important focus we have that will propel us into victory and the blessing that God has for us in 2014. This battle is deciding, though, in the mind. It's time to stop believing in our own abilities. It's time to stop believing in our inabilities and start believing in the power of an almighty God that no telling, although this world may look like it's getting terrible, we've still got a God that has every bit of power that he had on the day of Pentecost. And if he can transform 3,000 souls on the day of Pentecost, he can do it again. Stop. Stop. Stop that thought. It's the thought that counts. It's a choice we've got to take. How many know, if in your mind you're looking for negative, you're going to find negative? Huh? We're going to find what we're looking for. But if we want to look and we want to see God working, we'll find God working. Huh? It's all how we use our mind that God has given us. If we feed it on God's word, it's going to start renewing our mind. Huh? Hey, listen, junk in, junk out. But if you let the power of God in, the power of God is going to come out. Listen, we need to stop believing the lies of the world. We need to start believing what God has said about us. We need to start believing what he's done for us. So you can identify the toxic thoughts, reject them, and then replace them with the truth. You know, why live in a mental prison, Brother Cruz, when God has already opened the door? Why live in a mental prison when God has already opened? Hey, he not only opened the door, he said, devil, give me those keys. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to give these keys to my church. Listen, whatever they bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. Whatever they loose in earth, I'm going to be loosing in heaven. It's time to realize the mental door of bondage can be broken. It's time to come out and be free. Why? Because all things are possible with God. Walk through the open door. I'm telling you, somebody needs to walk through the open door. Stop thinking the lies of the enemy. Stop letting it limit your potential. God can transform you from your toxic minds. Woo! How many want some freedom in your mind? How many want to experience some mental freedom this morning? You've been bound by fear. Listen, don't you stay locked up in that prison. Jesus has opened the door. Jesus has opened the door. Identify the lie and replace it with the truth. Jesus promised if we abide in his word, we are his disciples. And then he went on to say, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Hallelujah. Here's what I'm going to close with. Paul knew the battle of the mind was real. That's why he told the church at Ephesus in 6:17. Ephesians 6:17. Take unto you the helmet of salvation. Woo! Why is the helmet of salvation important? Because when I put the helmet of salvation on, it helps me be reminded of all the scriptures in the Word of God that says I'm to have the mind of Christ. How do I know what the mind of Christ is? I look at His Word. I read His Word. So when I thought this morning, I said, when I put on the helmet of salvation, it helps me remind me of scriptures like Joshua 1:8, where God was reminding His children, they're going to be a success and not a failure. Hello. Here, it reminds me of Genesis 22:17, where the man of God said, and he realized, I'm a blessing, not a burden. Huh? John 8:23, the helmet of salvation helps me to think of thoughts like, I'm a city set on a hill. Hallelujah. I'm not down in a valley. I said, I resist to set up shop in the valley. Hello. Hey, when I put on the helmet of salvation, it helps me think of Philippians 4:13 that says, I can now do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It helps me think of Deuteronomy 8:13, which God told the children of Israel, you're the head, you're not the tail. It helps me realize Deuteronomy 28:13, I'm above, I'm not beneath. Psalm 39:14, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Deuteronomy 32, I'm the apple of God's eye. 2 Peter 1:8, I'm going to be fruitful, not barren. Hey, is somebody tracking with me this morning? Somebody in your mind, you need to leave here with the helmet of salvation on. You need to realize I'm a victor, I'm not a victim. 1 John 5:4 told me that. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, I'm not a loser, I'm a winner. Hey, hey, Isaiah 61:3 says, I'm a child of joy, not the child of sorrow. Hey, I'm going to keep it up until somebody gets it. Philippians 1:6 tells us we're a divine project, not an abandoned project. Hey, Isaiah 8:18, he said, I'm the solution. I'm not the problem. I'm the solution. Jeremiah 1:5 says, I'm a child of destiny, not a child of accident. John 14, 1-3 says, I'm destined for heaven, not destined for hell. Psalm 118, 17 says, I shall live and not die. I shall declare the works of the Lord. Anybody getting a detox in your mind right now? I'm sorry, bus children. I'm running a few minutes overboard here. But listen, Psalms, actually Proverbs 31:10 says I'm an asset, not a liability. Huh? 1 John 4:4 says greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm talking about things will change when you put on the helmet of salvation. Hey, Proverbs 8:35 says I'm favored. I'm favored. I'm not cursed. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6, he said, I'm encouraged, not discouraged. Hallelujah. Haggai 2:9 says, my ending is going to be better than my beginning. I tell you what, I'm feeling too Pentecostal here this morning. Woo! 1 Samuel 17, David said, I refuse to be intimidated by that giant. He's got his Philistine helmet on, but I got the helmet of salvation. In Christ, he knew Isaiah 10:27 that says, I got an anointing that destroys every yoke. Luke 10:19 says, I will triumph over the works of the enemy and nothing by any means hurt me. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs. My God. I'm through. Stand with me. Right now, somebody's getting a little detox. Oh, glory to God. You've been bound. You've been in a mental battle. Don't you leave still fighting that. Well, you can fight it. You can keep fighting it. But I want to tell you, from our perspective as children of God, the battle's already won. I want somebody in here to take a few moments. Take about 30 seconds right where you're at. And I want you to give God some kind of praise. Because the battle that's been going on in your mind, God is giving somebody some victory. Right here, right now. Come on, come on, come on. Right here, right now, somebody. I feel God. I see God. I can see His outworking. He's on some hearts right now. Woo! I said, come on, church. Don't you walk out of here discouraged. Don't you walk out of here defeated. Revival is yours. It's not going to start Thursday night. It's starting this morning. I said it's starting this morning because it's a church full of a handful of believers. I said a handful of us have taken enough from the devil and said, I rebuke him. I bind him. I'm going to get some freedom in my mind. I want somebody to step out of your seat and stand across this front. That's it, sis. That's right. Stand across this front and say, devil, I'm serving notice on you. I'm serving notice on you. I'm not the problem. I've got a solution. Woo! I'm not the problem. That's it, Nathan. God's all over you, bro. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let God in this place. I tell you what, there's some more folks. How about it, ladies? How about it, men? How about it? Can you take a few moments? What are you going to do with this sermon? What are you going to do with the word from the Lord? Listen, have you been thinking negative, fearful, discontented, critical thoughts? Your step in the right direction this morning is for healing in your minds. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kandalabo kosa hataya. That's it, Nate. Woo! Woo! Sinamakasa hataya. That's it. Stand with a sister, sisters. Stand with a brother, brothers. Let's believe God for some holy detoxing going on. I'm getting a new mind. I said I'm getting a new mind. I'm going to start thinking some new thoughts. Why? Because if you can think, you can change. I said, if you can think, you can change. My God! That's it, that's it, that's it.
No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. I am free, yeah. Freedom. Freedom, 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 I have freedom, freedom, I have freedom, freedom. There are no more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage, I am free, yeah. There's no more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage, I am free, yeah.